Chabura from yesterday. We were talking yesterday about the question of the Chalkas Yoav that he asked his Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer. Our Gemara says that when you have a shofar that is Mitzupa Zahav, if you have a shofar that has a gold coating at the tip of it, that would be considered a problem and you would not be able to fulfill your mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So the Chalkas Yoav asked the Avnei Nezer, why should that be the case? Don't we know that the Gemara says in Sukkah that kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz, any time that you have something which is put onto the item of the mitzvah just to beautify the mitzvah, that's the only reason that it's there, that cannot be considered a chatzitza. So over here, why would anybody put gold on their shofar? Obviously it's mishum hider mitzvah. I'm doing it just to beautify the mitzvah, to make it more elegant. And therefore, if that's the only reason why I'm putting the gold on, how can that constitute a chatzitza? Don't we know kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz? So yesterday we discussed the chiddush of the Avnei Nezer, that sometimes, he quoted the Ramban, that sometimes you have a situation where chatzitza is the problem, and sometimes you have, not only is chatzitza a problem, sometimes you have a requirement that goes beyond the chatzitza, not just that there shouldn't be something in the way, but that you actually have to touch the item itself via daim. That's what the Avnei Nezer said, the chiddush in the name of the Ramban. We extrapolated from there whether or not you can say that by Big Day Kahuna as well, whether or not you can say that by other mitzvahs like chalitza, whether you can say it by tefillin, and that was with regard to yesterday. Now the Avnei Nezer gives us a second approach. How can we get out of this problem of kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz? Why does our Gemara say that when you have a shofar that has golden coating on it, that would be a problem and you would not be able to fulfill your mitzvah? Suggests the Avnei Nezer based on the opinion of the Rambam as well as the Tosfos and Menachos, a very well known opinion in the Rishonim, that the whole idea of hider mitzvah is only when it's something that is nirale naim. It's only when you have something that people can see. For example, you have a Sefer Torah. So there's a hider mitzvah that you should make the Sefer Torah beautiful because everyone's going to look at the Sefer Torah. However, says the Baalei HaTosfos, if you have tefillin, the parshas of tefillin that stay inside of the boxes and no one's ever going to take them out, there's no reason to have sirtut, correct? There's no reason why we should make the lines on the paper, on the parchment of the tefillin, because what do I care if it's written on a straight line? What, it's hider mitzvah? It's a lack of hider mitzvah? There's no reason to beautify a mitzvah that nobody's going to see. That's what the Rishonim say. And the Binyan Shlomo writes that perhaps this is the reason why when the Gemara Maseches Shabbos gives us the list of all the different things that we're supposed to make sure that we have a hider mitzvah, the Binyan Shlomo writes that tefillin is out of that list. How come tefillin is not in the list? It says you should make a talis na, you should have a, which is a whole discussion in and of itself, tzitzis na, talis na, not for now. But basically that whole list, we leave out tefillin. Why is tefillin not in there? So he suggests the reason why tefillin is left out is because tefillin is something that nobody sees. And based on the Rishonim, when you have something that nobody is going to look at, where nobody's going to see it, then hider mitzvah would not apply at all. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer as follows. When I take the shofar and I blow it, so what are you going to say? It's a hider mitzvah to have a gold on the tip of the shofar. At the time that you're blowing it, you're covering over the tip, so nobody's going to see it. So what's the hider mitzvah? It's like the Baalei HaTosfos say, that when you have something that's going to be covered over and no one's going to see it, that would not be considered a inyan of hider mitzvah at all. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, this is not a hider mitzvah because nobody sees it. If nobody sees it, then it's a chatzitza, then it's in the way. So that's why the principle of kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz wouldn't apply. When does the Gemara say kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz? That's by the mitzvah of sheking lulav. You shake the lulav, you don't put your hands over the whole cover that you put on, some of it sticks out. And over there you say that since people are going to see it and since it makes it look more mehuder, that would be no problem of a chatzitza because we apply the principle of kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz. However, if we're talking about a case like shofar, where everything that you put onto the shofar is going to be covered over by your mouth, in a case like that, we assume that hider mitzvah would not apply at all. Since hider mitzvah wouldn't apply, therefore, kol l'ne'uso eino chotzeitz is not a factor at all because that's not called a noi ha-mitzvah. Now, the Avnei Nezer writes, even though when I take the shofar out of my mouth and I put it on the table, everyone's going to see how beautiful the shofar is. Everyone's going to say, look, he paid so much money to have the gold put on it. Says the Avnei Nezer, that's not the Shas Mitzvah. That's not the time that you're performing the mitzvah. So what does it help you? Now that it's sitting on the table, everyone sees a beautiful gold shofar. Now that you pick it up, nobody sees it anymore. So there's no consideration of hider mitzvah when at the Shas Kiyam HaMitzvah you don't do it at all. So take, for example, a very similar idea that Kli Chemda has. Kli Chemda raises a question. Why do we not find anywhere that there's an idea of hider mitzvah in the matzahs that I make? You know, some matzahs that you have are perfectly round and beautiful. Some of the matzahs have things sticking out on the sides. Maybe you should say, you should choose for the matzahs mitzvah only matzahs that are perfectly round, beautiful, in order that we should have a hider mitzvah. Says the Kli Chemda, how come this is not a consideration when we have the sugya of hider mitzvah? We have hider mitzvah by everything else that we do. How come there's no consideration hider mitzvah in the matzahs that we bake as well? So the Kli Chemda suggests as follows. He writes, L'dati nira, it would seem to me Dipsul ve'anveyu lo shayach ela b'mitzvah ha-miskayemes. Very similar to what the Avnei Nezer suggests over here. That the only time you have an idea of hider mitzvah is by a mitzvah ha-miskayemes, which means, even after I'm finished shaking the lulav, it's still going to be there. However, he says, aval masha ha-mitzvah l'sarfo lefnei Hashem. If, let's say, I have a mitzvah to burn something, like a karbon, that's not called part of hider mitzvah. You would have no obligation of hider mitzvah in something like that. Umay high time, he argues, ein din matzana kedin de mitzvaso bekiloi ha'achila. Since my mitzvah by achilas matzah is to destroy, so to speak, the matzah, to eat it and consume it, it's not going to be here afterwards. So there's no such thing as hider mitzvah, which is about to be consumed. And therefore he argues that hider mitzvah would not be a factor at all. That's why we don't go ahead and make sure to have a hider in the matzahs that we bake. We don't have to make them perfectly round and make them look so beautiful because we're about to eat them anyway. He brings a proof to his idea, which I think is a fascinating proof. He says, Rashi writes in Menachos that you are not supposed to bring a kachush, a behema kusha. You're not supposed to bring a weak behema as a karban. What would you have said? Why shouldn't you? Because Zekeli van Veyer would have said that's a lack of hider mitzvah if you're going to bring the weaker animal instead of bring a nice, big, fat animal, juicy animal to the mizbeach. And yet Rashi says not the reason why we disqualify lechatchila such an animal. Rashi says because hakriveyu na lefechasecha, which means it's not respectful to the Beis HaMikdash that you're going to bring a lean animal. You should really bring something which is juicier, which is really going to be fatter. That's really going to be an honor to the Beis HaMikdash. Frektikli chemda, why doesn't Rashi give the obvious reason why? Because zekeli van Veyu. Why does Rashi choose to say hakriveyu na lefechasecha? Why do you use that idea? Zekeli van Veyu is an inyan d'oraisa. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So why do we have over here that Rashi goes out of his way to say the reason why you're supposed to bring a fatter animal as a korban is because hakriveyu na lefechasecha. Why don't you say the reason why is because Zekeli van Veyu answers the Kli Chemda? Perhaps the reason why is because this korban is about to be consumed. It's about to be destroyed. So you can't say Zekeli van Veyu. Rashi has to come up with a new reason that the reason why you have to bring a fatter animal onto the Beis HaMikdash as a korban is because Zekeli van Veyu is not a factor. You have to come up with hakriveyu na lefechasecha. Now, very nice idea by the Kli Chemda, very nice idea of the Avnei Nezer. However, this is really not so simple at all. The reason why it's not so simple is because the Rama and Arachayim and Ilchus Tfilin, Paskins, not like Rabbi Natam and the Rambam. Again, Rabbi Natam and the Rambam say there's no reason to have sirta, there's no reason to have the lines put onto the parshas of the Tfilin, because nobody's going to look at them anyway. So the Rama says that's not the case. The Rama says, Tfilin mitzvah liaposa mi bifnim umi bachutz, says the Rama. We have a mitzvah to go and make the tefillin beautiful on the outside, but also on the inside, which means on the parshios as well, even though nobody's going to see it. And what you see from the Rama is that even when you have a mitzvah item that nobody's going to look at, nobody's going to see, we have an idea of going ahead and making sure that we do it in a beautiful way as well. The most obvious place where you can prove this from is the idea that the Gemara talks about hider mitzvah by bris milah. Why do we have the idea of hider mitzvah by bris milah? Who's going to look at the bris milah? Who's looking there? Nobody. And yet we find an obvious discussion in the Gemara about hider mitzvah by bris milah. It must be, we paskin alek Rabbein Tam and the Rambam. How are they going to understand that Gemara? It's a good question. But we understand that hider mitzvah applies across the board. Why should it apply across the board? That's something that is spoken about by many. Rav Asher Weiss once told me perhaps the reason why, I later heard Rabbi Sachs said in the name of Rav Asher Weiss also, but Rav Asher Weiss had the chiddush that perhaps you can learn from Rashi and Maseches Yuma that the reason why we do a hider mitzvah is not for the reason that you thought. It's not because we want to show kavod to the Ribono Shel Olam, but rather Rashi makes a comment in Maseches Yuma that teferes ba'aleha, it's a beautification to the person who's observing the mitzvah. Shetarach lehisnaos b'mitzvah, that you went out of your way to go ahead and beautify the mitzvah. Shenemar zakeli v'anveiv. So Rabbi Asher Weiss suggested that maybe what Rashi is getting at here is every time we involve ourselves in the hider mitzvah activities that we do, it's not really for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're doing it to beautify ourselves, to make ourselves more beautiful before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tiferes ba'aleha, it's supposed to be a beautification of our personalities and not only of the mitzvah item itself. My father rejected this mikol v'kol. He thought it was a outlandish diuk to make, and he said if you read Rashi carefully, Rashi is talking about what the Gemara there was talking about, which is about why everybody brought their Sifrei Torah that they wrote and commissioned the writing of. And he thought you cannot bring any proof from this at all to the general idea of hider mitzvah and what the reason for hider mitzvah actually is. But even without the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that a davar ha-mechusa is... I'm sorry, but even... Again, we said that the Rama rejects the opinion of the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, and that's why we said the Avnei Nezer is problematic. But even without that, the Avnei Nezer is a problem. Even if you do assume, like Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, that the reason why Hiddur Mitzvah doesn't apply to Tefillin is because it's covered up and you're never going to open it. The Ran writes that the whole understanding of Rabbeinu Tam is only going to be said by Tefillin, because Tefillin, you never open up the Parshios. However, the Ran argues that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, when you have a mezuzah, since you have an obligation to check the mezuzah twice every 7 years, so therefore, says the Ran, even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that a mezuzah has to be written in a way of Hiddur Mitzvah. Why? Because people are going to look at it. So the question is as follows. If Rabbeinu Tam himself argued that when you have a mitzvah item that people are going to look at, then you need to make sure that it's done in an ofen of hiddur. So over here, what did the Avnei Nezer argue? Avnei Nezer said, the shofar, there's no reason to make it beautiful because at the time that it's in your mouth, it's covered over. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no problem. What about when you take it out of your mouth? Now it's going to be sitting on the table. Says the Avnei Nezer, well, there's no reason of hiddur mitzvah then because now you're not performing a mitzvah. Now, may I ask you, when I take down my mezuzah to have it checked twice every 7 years, am I performing the mitzvah at the time when it's off the door? No. And yet the Ran argues that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, hiddur mitzvah would apply to a mezuzah because people are going to see it. Well, what do you mean? They're only looking at it at a time when you're not being mekayem the mitzvah. And still Rabbeinu Tam says that hiddur mitzvah applies there. Well, if that's the argument of Rabbeinu Tam, the same should apply over here as well by a shofar. Even after I take the mitzvah item out of my mouth and I put it on the table, how can the Avnei Nezer argue that according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no option for hiddur mitzvah at that point because the mitzvah is not happening then? What do you mean? Rabbeinu Tam himself would say that when the mitzvah is off the wall, when the mezuzah is off the wall, you have an idea of hiddur mitzvah then, so the same should be over here. When the shofar is out of my mouth, there should be hiddur mitzvah there as well. So the whole Avnei Nezer, I think, is a very questionable Avnei Nezer. It's a hard Avnei Nezer to understand. And it's something that, again, is connected the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. We paskin the Rambam says, not like Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, and we hold that there would be hiddur mitzvah even by something that is mechusa. Just to close, there is an issue with regard to chatzitza when it comes to mezuzah as well. Did Rabbi Reis talk about this at all? So what do you do when you hang up a mezuzah? So a very famous comment is made by the Vilna Gaon, and this is a comment that the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, and the Pesachei Tshuva writes about the comment of the Vilna Gaon, Vitzarachin. He doesn't know what the Vilna Gaon is talking about, and the Vilna Gaon is quoted also in the Maisa Rav, which they say is a very credible source for the Vilna Gaon. And yet the Pesachei Tshuva still says Vitzarachin. He doesn't understand what it means. The Vilna Gaon said, I'm reading from the Maisa Rav, Lo yichrach ha-mezuzah b'klaf, you have to make sure that the mezuzah is not wrapped up in klaf, meaning right where the parshus and the mezuzah end, you have to chop off the klaf, and you cannot have any extra rolling of klaf there. Kedei shalo yehe hefsik davar ben ha-mezuzah le-mezuzah habayis. In order that you shouldn't have anything standing in the way of your mezuzah, the klaf that has the parsha on it, and the bayis. So over here, if you're going to roll up extra klaf on the outside, then there's going to be a chatzitza in between the parsha of the mezuzah and the delas habayis itself. Now, Pesachei Tshuva, as we said, says this is a tzarachin gadol. He doesn't understand what the pshat is. Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's borrowed to him that the Maaser Rav is not from the Vilna Gaon, and whoever heard this, HaShomeya Shama Vita. Whoever heard this made a mistake. He didn't know what he was talking about. The whole thing is a mistake. Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes in a Sefer HaMezuzah, if you look in that Sefer over there, that he heard from the Chazon Ish, that Eino Mamin, he doesn't believe that the Vilna Gaon ever said such a thing. Okay, so that's one way of getting out of the problem. You can say Vilna Gaon never said it. That's an easy way out. But assuming that we want to say that the Vilna Gaon did not make a mistake, how is this to be understood? Many Achronim ask the question, shouldn't you say, Kol Neusa Eino Chotzeitz? For example, if I'm going to put up a beautiful silver mezuzah case on the door, and that's the way I'm going to house my mezuzah, shouldn't you assume that that's not going to be a chatzitza? Why don't you say, Kol Neusa Eino Chotzeitz? Whatever I put up for the Noi HaMitzvah, for the beautification, for the Zekei Divan Veyu, is not going to serve as a chatzitza at all. So how does the Vilna Gaon go ahead and say, you're not allowed to have anything outside of the klaf itself? First of all, the Gemara Bava Metzia talks about guvisa dekanya, which means you put the mezuzah into a hollow, round, whatever it is, tube, and you put that onto the wall. So you see, the Gemara is already describing that they used to use mezuzah cases. Nowadays, we don't only use guvisa dekanya, we use a beautiful gold and silver mezuzah case in order to beautify the mitzvah. Ask the Achronim, shouldn't that be a concern of Kalun Usein Achotzeitz? Why does the Vilna Gaon say that that should be a problem of mezuzah speisecha? So, once again, there are those Achronim who argue that the reason why is because we're not talking about an issue of chatzitza here, like we said yesterday. Over here it says, al mezuzah speisecha, like it says, al besara ulevei sham, that we mentioned yesterday by the Big Day Kahuna, like we have by chatzitza, that you have to do me'al raglo. So to over here, perhaps some want to suggest that the Vilna Gaon's intention was, why do we assume that you're not allowed to have anything in between the doorpost and the mezuzah itself, even if it's l'shem nari ha-mezuzah, the answer is because over here we're not talking about dine chatzitza. Over here the description of the problem is that it has to be touching the doorpost, mezuzah speisech. And if that's the consideration, then the Vilna Gaon argues that whatever is going to be in the way, even if it's l'shem nari ha-mitzvah, even if it's for the beautification of the mezuzah, it's still going to be a problem because bottom line, it's not touching the doorpost. And if it's not touching the doorpost, then you have not fulfilled your obligation. However, we know that the minig is not like the Vilna Gaon for whatever reason. We assume that you are allowed to put something up on the door, and that would not be a problem of a chatzitza at all. Now the question is, why is that the case? Why shouldn't we be concerned? So you'll say maybe kolon usay nechotzeitz, or you'll say min bimino nechotzeitz, or you say all these different things. But I did see a suggestion, one of the Achronim writes, I saw it in the Sefer Agurba Alecha, I think, that he writes from Rav Shlomo Kluger, maybe the answer is as follows. When we talk about the mitzvah mezuzah, you have to put it on your doorpost. A doorpost can be made out of anything. So the doorpost used to be wood. Now the doorpost is also not only made out of wood, it's also made out of gold or silver, now that I hung up a mezuzah case. Now my mezuzah is hanging on the gold and silver. So he says any substance that you're going to put on top of the doorpost now becomes bottle to the doorpost. Now it's just like your doorpost has extended an extra half an inch. However, when we talk about Ukshartam la'os al yadecha, you can't say that when I have a paper towel on top of my hand, that now becomes an extension of my hand. What do you mean? Your hand is made out of basar. Paper towel is made out of paper towel. It doesn't blend in to become one. And therefore, in a case like that, said of Shlomo Kluger, we have the objection by other mitzvahs, if you have something in the way, that would be a chatzitza. Even if it's to make your hand look beautiful, but it's not really going to become batel, to become a part of your hand. Masha'enke, when it comes to the doorpost, since the doorpost can be made out of anything, you could even put a lot of things together to make a doorpost. In a case like that, once I hang up a mezuzah case, perhaps, that would also be considered just like an extension of the doorpost itself, and there would be no issue of chatzitza there, even though there's an issue of chatzitza by other cases that we do find, let's say by tefillin or by chalitza or by other issues that we discussed yesterday. Okay.